Hallelujah. All right. Handling the scriptures rightly. We're just going to make it as brief because the time is far spent. Handling the scriptures rightly. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 to 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen? Amen. So, of course, we looked at this again and again to see that Paul firstly reminds and admonishes Timothy to continue in the things that he has learned, and not only learned, but assured of. And that brings us to knowing that we must not only learn, but be assured of what we are learning. And having been assured, continue in it. Now, I've also seen that it is not only in matters of doctrine, okay, not to degrade or relegate doctrine, no, but to also be conscious of practice, okay, not only on matters of doctrine, but the Christian practice. Ministry pattern, faith walk, okay? So if you've learned something and you've been assured of it, continue in it. If it's by word and prayer that disciples get raised, don't change, continue in it. If it's by word and prayer that the ministry is done, don't change, continue in it. If it's by patience that disciples are raised, don't become impatient. Continue in that patience. Amen? It's important and instructive when it comes to the Christian faith. Don't only learn, be assured of what you learn and continue in it. Praise God. In verse 15, of course, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. And it says they are able to teach you. Remember the word sophizo, to make wise, to teach, or to make clever, intelligent, and so on and so forth. And of course, it's unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We'll talk about that later. In verse 16, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, helpful, or to the advantage. Or advantageous, what's the word again? Ophelimos, right? Helpful or advantageous. And then it begins to say pros didaskalia, pros elenkos, pros epanothosis, and pros paideia. And don't forget the word pros, two word. So proper teaching will lead to conviction. Conviction will lead to correction. And don't forget correction, right? Improvement of life and character. You remember that? Aha. So, again, doctrine must influence practices and conduct. It must influence character. Doctrine must. It must. That is why it is important. It must influence life and character. Doctrine, let me just say this by the way, so that by the time you are going through your notes, you'd also capture that. Doctrine is the proper way to worship or serve God. Or you can say doctrine is how you learn the proper way to worship or serve God. So a lot of times when doctrine is not in place, there's something in the person's worship. I don't want to say your, okay, but it's okay if I say so, but I just, there's something missing in the person's worship or service if doctrine is not in place. There are a lot of times where people make the saints of God feel like doctrine is not that important once you get the results. It is crucial, it's important. There's something always missing when a particular doctrine is incomplete or inappropriate, okay, or misunderstood. There's something missing. So I did not say when you don't understand Bible doctrine, you cannot. I didn't say you cannot. And so people begin to bring about stories of, you know, I know a pastor who has three wives and he works miracles. That's not the point. At least you can see that he has three wives. If you didn't get that, sorry. Let's move on. Amen. Are you there? I didn't say if you don't understand, you say, what about this man? He doesn't teach anything. See. That means you are not hearing what we're saying, right? I'm not saying you cannot serve God if you don't understand anything. No. By virtue of being born again, you qualify for serving God. You qualify for service to God. Exodus 12 and 31. The people will be let go so that they can go and serve the Lord. And of course, you know, let go, that will be Exodus, that's deliverance, Colossians 1 and 13. Delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, has been born again, Colossians 1, 13, Exodus 12, 31. Okay, so by being born again, you qualify for service. But discipleship brings you sound doctrine, not some proper Bible knowledge or proper Bible doctrine. Sound doctrine brings you into effective worship. Don't say effective. I wanted to say ministry, I just changed. But, I mean, you get the point. Let's say effective ministry and true worship. True. True is a better word to use. Amen, amen. And you have times where people say, you know, see, that guy is all about sound doctrine, and you cannot see much progress. Don't judge the things of God by the way of the world. Okay? Look, imagine the number of people that will have called Abraham, I mean the people who knew about it, will have called Abraham stupid, silly, religious, or even barren. Or let's even say Sarah. The number of years he chose not to be weak in faith, but chose to be strengthened, giving glory to God. The number of years till Isaac came. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, let me leave that But it's just important to understand, everything is not about once it is correct, it must happen now. Then that shows it's God. No. Amen, amen. I mean, who doesn't like things to happen quickly? Sharp, sharp. Pray 5 minutes, bam, 1 billionaire. Ha. I love you too. You don't love? I do. I mean, just pray 2 minutes, bam, this has happened, that has happened. Amen. Okay, so verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Verse 17 must always be to you a reminder that the Bible is sufficient for Christian service. It's sufficient. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Is sufficient for Christian service. Okay? Sufficient for ministry. Yes, it's good to learn from others, learn from those who have gone ahead, learn things that are not spelled out, so to say, in Bible. That has to do with maybe administrative or organizational or things that, you know, people who have taken a hold of God's word for years and have now become very wise. Yeah. Learn. Okay? But the Bible is sufficient for Christian service. If you stay with the Bible alone, you will serve God truly. If you stay with the Bible alone, you will raise men truly. If you stay with the Bible alone, you will speak on God's behalf truly. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:15, of course, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that speaks of a teacher, right? A teacher who is blameless or without blame or innocent. A teacher that needeth not to be ashamed, yeah? And then rightly dividing the word of truth. And remember the word orthotomeo or orthotomeo, which we can say our title came from, to handle aright or to teach the scriptures correctly. To handle aright. Well, you may leave out scriptures or you may add it. To teach. If you are going to look at orthotomeo in itself, it will be to teach correctly, to teach the truth correctly, to handle aright. So the scriptures must be handled rightly because it can be mishandled. It can. And if we all keep a clean, clear, and sincere conscience, we will always be helped to know the truth or learn the truth aright. Acts 18, from verse 24 to 28. There was a man by the name Apollos. He was born in Alexandria. You know, I told you that Alexandria is like the heart of Egypt, a major city in Egypt. Egypt was known for civilization, knowledge, education. In those days, there was a man that was born there. Okay? Born in Alexandria. That's the reason that was put there. Okay? So intelligent, educated. And then, of course, he was also eloquent, right? And he was mighty in the scriptures. Mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus, and this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Of course, in Acts chapter 19, you will see the fruit of that ministry. Yes, he was fervent in spirit, but the limit of his knowledge affected other people. In Acts 19, Paul came to Ephesus, where Apollos left. Acts 19:1, and he found certain disciples, and said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And I told you this, how to read it. We have not so much as heard whether any could receive the Holy Ghost, not whether there be any Holy Ghost." Okay? Did you get that? Because Acts 10:38 is John's baptism. How can I enter Jesus? Jesus is still the subject of Apollos' message. Are you there? I know that he was talking about John the Baptist. It's not possible. Or is it possible? John opened Genesis and said, John. Exodus, John. Say, as we were passing through the Red Sea, John. That would be a lot, right? So his knowledge was limited. He taught Jesus up until John's baptism. That's the point. Up until John's baptism. So that means his message was without the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Are you there? But you know what? So, born at Alexandria, eloquent and mighty in the scriptures. Yet, his knowledge was limited, one. Yet, he was humble enough to listen to and receive from Aquila and Priscilla. And that's the reason I came here, that if we have, or if we maintain a clear, sincere conscience, we will be able to be helped. In our knowledge of God. He listened and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he left Achaia, when he left Ephesus for Achaia, he helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I stay humble. I stay meek. Say, I stay humble. I stay meek. Say, I stay humble. I stay meek. Amen, amen. You know, so the man was helped. I mean, by the standards of men, that was a good preacher or a good minister. He was fervent in spirit. And what teaching was that I helped us to see? That fervency is the way to serve God. You don't say, because I don't have this, or because I don't know this. No, fervency is the way to serve God. What subject is that? No, it can't be true service. Bit of fire for God. Is that the most recent? Let the fire burn. That should be over a year ago. That's the most recent. Are you sure? Try and find out. Let's know. Not sure I can trace it here. Maybe in the former note. Amen? Fervency. Oh, maybe it's been a long time. It looks like it's recent, have you? That's how it is in my mind. Okay? Amen, amen? Fervency is the way to serve God. I say, I don't know much. So therefore, permit me not to come for VG. Permit me not to come for evangelism. Permit me not to pray. No. Fervency is the way to serve God. That's how you must be. So, the little I know, I don't want to be too, I don't want to teach it so much, lest we offend God. I mean, if you are here, you know enough. Amen? No boast. Praise God. But you know enough. Hallelujah. I didn't say you know enough not to listen again. Right? So, fervency in the Spirit. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen? It must be on your head. Now, only you be Christian. Yes. Amen, amen? Okay. Luke 24:44-46. This is the words which I speak unto you while I was here with you, that all things will fulfill with the written law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, and openly their understanding and in my understanding scriptures. Then he said unto them, thus be all Christ to suffer these things and to rise from the dead the third day. Okay, I'm there now. Amen. And of course, we looked at verse 45. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The scriptures now made sense. They were able to mentally comprehend the utterances of the prophets. But you see in verse 44, he says, he spoke concerning himself from the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now, it's just sad that I'm starting, but we need to begin to close. Amen? So, salvation through faith, as we saw in 2 Timothy 3:15, right? Now, this is what I want to say. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus is not only the message of the scriptures. Follow me, okay? Is not only the message of the scriptures, but also the lens through which the scriptures are read or must be read and viewed. Again, salvation through faith is not only the message of the scriptures, but also the lens through which the scriptures must be or are read and viewed. Amen, amen? So in other words, you must have that mentality that the understanding of the scriptures, the writings, the way you will get them, I mean, it's not because you will see salvation through faith in Christ Jesus there, but it will now be the way you navigate through, the way the thoughts of the scriptures are engineered, amen, to understand what is written or to deliver the message. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So that means in the writings, you find certain writings, you just see it's speaking in the area of faith. Faith towards salvation in Christ. Amen? Oh, taste and see. Is that Psalm 34 and verse 7? Is it 7 or 9? Check quickly. That is 34 verse 8. Right? Okay, thank you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So that's to speak about faith. Faith toward God who is able to deliver. Just give it a try. Taste and see that God is good. God's goodness in his salvation. God's goodness to man is the resurrection. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So the man who is saved is blessed. Amen? So you see, that simple verse, that's how to understand it. So it must be the lens through which the scriptures are viewed. Because the thoughts of the writing are engineered that way. Salvation through faith in Christ. I mean, when you begin to hear a message like, you know, God has made you a kind of person, a blessing that men have never seen, you know, so you need to find out or discover yourself, and at the end of the day, there's nothing about look unto Christ. There's a problem with that message, no matter how good it sounds. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 I love what Reverend McCankin will say. He says that, he quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, he said, the man in Christ is new, is so new, that God will have to introduce you to your new self. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. You have to learn about who he has made you. And that new person is in Christ. You don't isolate that to think about yourself. Mm-mm. That new is only new in Christ. So it will take learning of Christ. It will take looking unto Jesus or unto Christ to be able to know that person that he has made you. Glory to God. It's always an in him reality. In him. Praise God. So in Luke 24 and verse 44, it says, from the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Jesus was speaking concerning himself. In John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40. A good Bible student must love repetition. You must. Amen? And if you don't love it, you must endure it. One of the two. Hallelujah. Those are the options you have. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they will testify of me. And you will not come, you will not come to me that ye might have life. Then in 45 he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. That is, Moses had written. He had written for those who put faith, or who will put faith, and this is what shall be. And he has also written for those who rebel against truth. Amen? So that's really not to paint Moses bad in any way. There's one that accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. He had written. If you do this, this is what you will suffer. This is your punishment. If you don't do this, and you go and do it, that you shall be. Okay? So he had written. There's one that accused Jesus of Father. Even Moses, in whom you trust. Verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So the understanding of Moses is concerning Jesus himself. The understanding of Moses is Jesus. But if ye believe not his writings, verse 47, how shall ye believe my words? Can you see that? If ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So if you believe Moses, you believe me. If you don't believe me, you don't believe Moses. That's what Jesus said. If you didn't get Moses, you can't get me. Because Jesus was speaking and teaching from Moses. From Moses and the prophets. From the Psalms. Amen, amen. Psalms chapter 1. My God, my God. I can't say why that forsaken me. Psalm is so New Testament. I was looking for it after Matthew. Amen. Psalms. If you're there, say amen. We'll read together. Psalms chapter 1. One to go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen? Amen? So, the thoughts in the scriptures are, you know, just like in Acts 20:35, where Paul says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, he's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you go and search through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will not find that statement. As though, I mean, it was lifted, it is written. No, you won't find it. So it will be from all of his words, from his teachings, this is a summary, or this is an interpretation, or this is a mindset. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The same way salvation through faith in Christ Jesus that Paul wrote in 15. It will always be the thoughts. And that's what you will find there. It's not that, you know, everywhere salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. No. The reason the prophets were speaking. Yes, in certain places you see talk about salvation. Certain places you talk about faith. Certain places you see talk about a man. A savior. A messiah. Okay? But the thoughts were in the manner of salvation through faith in Christ. So Isaiah is telling you, when you put faith in Christ, this is how you will be like. When you don't put faith, this is what you look like. These are the kind of people you have taken sides with. Or you have brought yourself among. Are you there? So blessed is the man. He puts faith in the word of God, is brought into the congregation of the righteous. Hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Hey, are you there? Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And of course, he goes on, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king, amen, upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Can you see that? So what you see clearly here, it speaks about a king. It speaks about the son. It is the one you must put faith in. It says, lest he be angry and vexed. That's, you do not put faith in him. It's the way it is written. But it's just similar to, he that believes in him is baptized and is saved, that believes not is damned. Are you there? Of course, I'm sure you didn't miss Psalm 1 verse 3 too. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The son. His fruit. His fruit. Look at Psalm 3. Lord, are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, hast shewed for me my glory and lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked. Hallelujah. For the Lord sustained me. Glory to God. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, there are certain things that we must read and let's settle, you know. Yes, I know there are times we can look at a portion of the Bible and use it to exhort ourselves. But it's good to always settle down. Look at the subject matter. If there's a he there, who is the person? Is it me that is reading? Is it me that is putting faith in God? Or it is speaking about Jesus Christ? Amen? Psalm 3 is Jesus, right? Amen? Trusting in resurrection. Did you see that? Hey, are you there? Glory to God. Well, let's hold it there. And go to John 6. And we close there. John 6. John chapter 6. John 6. If you're there, say amen. I was wondering what's going on. Yeah, John 6. My God, my God. He has not forsaken me. How far can we take now? Okay, no time. In John 6, verse 29. Well, 26. Beg your pardon. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Can you see that? So he exhorted them on that. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What must we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. This is what God wants from you. This is what God wants from men. Believe on the one we have sent. Trust in him. The one who trusts in him is blessed. 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 The one who trusts in him comes into the congregation of the righteous. There's a people that God is fashioning for himself. A country, a nation. Trust in him. Believe on him. That's the work of God. That's what God is doing in the earth. That's why he became a man. So that you believe on him and you come into that place, that position. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, very verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. It was redirecting their focus. Of course, they were also wandering away in their thoughts. For the bread of God is he, amen, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So there are even times you will not see he, his, king, like we saw in Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3. There are times you will see bread and the focus is that man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That person, that person. He told them the bread, that bread, that bread is he. A he, not it. The bread of God. You eat, and what happens? Life. Life. It comes down from heaven, gives life to the whole world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Hallelujah. Praise God. He can't lose me. He can't lose me. He can't lose me. He is too faithful. He is too powerful. He can't lose me. I cannot be lost. I cannot be lost. I cannot be lost. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, verse 40 now, and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, very verily I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinking my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which come down from heaven, or came down from heaven. Not as your fathers eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew him in himself, that his disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. There are some of you that believe not, said that to them. And for Jesus knew from the beginning, those who were that believe not and who shall betray him and so on and so forth. Amen. Carefully, Jesus took the scriptures and began to say just certain portions. This is about me. This is about me. As a matter of fact, upon he quoted that, and they are taught of God. And he was in the synagogue teaching them. Hallelujah. Amen. Talking about himself. Glory to God. Talking about himself. Talking about himself. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. They are life. Amen. So you know what that means? When the scriptures are rightly explained, the explanation is spirit and life. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. The explanation is spirit and life. That's why it's capable to improve life and character. Yeah. That's why it's capable of causing true worship and true service. We must devote our lives. We must work hard. Do the needful to ensure that the scriptures rightly taught, rightly explained. Explain. Not to fight on social media. No. 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 But for me to follow God's plan and purpose. For me to serve God as he wants me to. Amen. For me to do his will in the earth. Amen. For me to raise someone properly. Properly. For me to have a man walking in God's plan, his purpose. For me to tutor someone aright. For me to be that person that when men are following me, in reality, they are following God. Amen? Amen? It is the scriptures rightly taught. I can guarantee us this. Amen? Amen? So, Michelle, handle the scriptures rightly. I will handle the scriptures rightly. As I close again, close already, amen, or closing, about to close, almost closing, we'll soon close, okay, the writer's intent and the message. You must not forget, you must not study the scripture and forget that, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. No, you must remember, God was saying something to us. And we must arrive at that message every time we study. When we don't arrive at the message of God, then we didn't study aright. And don't forget the three things I gave you the last time. Number one, the purpose of writing. The writer's language. The scriptural and biblical terminologies. Once we're able to navigate through those things, the Bible becomes in our hands a book where we can clearly see God and we can also help others. To clearly see God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Lift your hands. Bless the Lord. Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Bless him.